I would just ask Michael to take the reading this morning from John chapter 14 and John chapter 16.
Start with John chapter 14, verses 15 to 31. If you love me, keep my commands, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him, because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you, and he will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans, I will come to you. Before long the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them. Then Judas, not Judas Iscariot, said, But Lord, why do you intend to show yourself to us and not the world? Jesus replied, Anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. Anyone who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. All this I have spoken while still with you, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. You heard me say, I am going away and I am coming back to you. If you loved me, you would be glad that I am going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. I have told you now before it happens, so that when it does happen, you will believe. I will not say much more to you, for the prince of this world is coming. He has no hold over me, but he comes so that the world may learn that I love the Father and do exactly what my Father has commanded me. Come now, let us leave. And now chapter 16, 1 to 16. All this I have told you, so that you will not fall away. They will put you out of the synagogue. In fact, the time is coming when anyone who kills you will think they are offering a service to God. They will do such things because they have not known the Father or me. I have told you this, so that when their time comes, you will remember that I have warned you about them. I do not tell you this from the beginning, because I was with you. But now I am going to him who sent me. None of you asks me, Where are you going? Rather, you are filled with grief because I have said these things. But very truly I tell you, it is for your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the Advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. When he comes, he will prove the world to be in the wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment, about sin. Because people do not believe in me, about righteousness, because I am going to the Father, where you can see me no longer. And about judgment, because the prince of this world now stands condemned. I have much more to say to you, more than you can hear, more than you can now bear. But when he, the Spirit of Truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will glorify me, because it is from me that he will receive what he will make known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said the Spirit will receive from me what he will make known to you. Jesus went on to say, In a little while you will see me no more, and then after a little while you will see me.
Finishing the sermon and I was feeling a bit out of my depth and not really feeling like I was cow's feeling stretched, you could say. And I get a daily email, devotional email thing, and it was just this picture, and it was, keep stretching, learning, and growing. And I was like, all right, thanks God, I think I get the picture. But yeah, like, continuing to hear God's voice and see God and however he talks and speaks. I'm pretty sure I learn much more than you will doing a sermon. But I hope that, that we're all learning, growing and stretching each week, because it's worth it. It's worth stretching, learning and growing what God gives. It's kind of like pulling the wrapping paper off is worth it for the present that's inside. So, not trying. I kind of talked about that a little bit before. Not trying. I think it's more of a conscious decision to let God be part of our lives rather than it have to keep trying all the time. Give God permission to be involved in our daily lives. Because he is with us. Seems too simple. But it's kind of like being a child. We are someone's son or daughter. We are. And God's made us his if we accept. And I think it's also kind of like being married. I don't have to try and be married. I am married. And it's the same with God and our relationship with him. But so often we feel like we have to try more. We have to do more. We have to read our Bible more. We have to pray more. We have to try. When actually God just says, abide in me. I'm with you, I'm in you. Seems too simple. So, we're gonna look at what the Bible is saying about the Holy Spirit in those two chapters of John today. There's four kind of bits. In those two chapters, there's four bits that talk about the Holy Spirit. God's repeating it and repeating it and repeating it and repeating it. So we're gonna kind of look at that. Does anyone find reading the Bible hard? Sometimes or all the time? Normal. It's normal. And that's why we do this whole Christian life thing together. Do it together so we can figure out what God is saying to us individually, to us as a community, and what God's saying to the world. So the Holy Spirit seems to be sort of two polar sort of sides in the Christian faith. One side's kind of like holy hands and falling over and kind of very, you see stuff, kind of very, you know what I mean? This is sort of one side, and the other side, people are like, Holy Spirit, what? Kind of like, don't even say his name, don't even really acknowledge, kind of, we'll just pretend that he's not really part of the Trinity, and kind of sort of in this spectrum. And somewhere there's a, let's see what God says about the Holy Spirit today. And I want us to be open to what God is saying and not have our preconceived ideas about where we sit on the spectrum and this is the right place on the spectrum to be, but rather what is God saying to us through his word and what does he want to tell us today about himself? So, God help us. First thing, so the Trinity, it's kind of like this good head knowledge. It's kind of like algebra. Unless we use algebra, it's just good head knowledge that is useless in life. Unless we use it. Sorry, teachers. But it's useless unless we use it, right? And the same with the Trinity. If it's just head knowledge and we can't apply it to our everyday life, then it's kind of just head knowledge, and God has so much more in store than just head knowledge. So Trinity needs to translate into our daily life. It's not meant for just head knowledge. Joe, if you pop up the first slide. So I've sort of highlighted, I sort of got the scriptures bit by bit and highlighted bits. And there was lots of parallels, or there was lots of the same bits in all the four bits, it was kind of, God was saying the same thing four times when it came to the Holy Spirit in these two chapters. It's all good, we just heard it anyway. So the first kind of point that really stuck out to me was the fact that God is, in his word, he's continually telling us where the Holy Spirit comes from. Jesus is continually saying, the Holy Spirit is from me, it's from Jesus, sent by the Father. Jesus is only going to send the Holy Spirit once he's gone, but he has to go so he can send the Holy Spirit. So there's so much about the sending. Jesus really wants us to know where the Holy Spirit comes from, and it's from him. It's from God, it's from Jesus, from the Father. The Holy Spirit is from God. It's not this sort of third part of the Trinity that we leave over in the corner because we're not too sure about. He is sent from God. Then the next sort of part is the red part that you'll see soon. But it's, and though the red bits are all about what the Holy Spirit is going to do, like for us, he's going to be with us, he's going to be in us, he's going to teach us, he's going to, all of these things that, like, that Jesus names what the Holy Spirit is going to do. The blue bits, so I'm going to get to explain it before you see it, which might actually help. The blue bits are the names, so that the advocate, he's called the advocate like four times or more. The Spirit of Truth, again, is like three or four times. And this is within like a few verses, really. So like the name is continually used. And so what is the Spirit of Truth? Who is the Spirit of Truth? What does he look like? What does he do? Because the Spirit of Truth is a big name of God. Of the Holy Spirit. And then the green, the last bit, is sort of things the Holy Spirit is going to do, but it's not directly personalized to us. Like it's for us, but it's kind of like the reader is going to teach us, he's going to be with us, he's going to be in us. The green is like he's going to testify about God, he's going to glorify God, he's going to be in the world and do stuff. Does it make sense? Hopefully make more sense. Okay, here we go. So, the yellow. Where is the Holy Spirit from? I will ask the Father to give you another advocate. He will not leave us as orphans, but he will come to us. So Jesus is going to come to us, but he's talking about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's going to come, but it's Jesus. But it's Trinity. Makes sense. So yellow is, where is the Holy Spirit from? Green, the world cannot accept him because it neither sees him or knows him. So if we're not the world, if we are his people, then we need to be able to accept him, see him, and know him. So do we know the Holy Spirit? Do we see him? Do we accept him? I thought that was quite a stark kind of a, so if we're not of the world, then we need to be this. And this, that God gives us the Holy Spirit, God is with us, God is in us, and it's given to us. So it's not like, oh, we have to, you know, we do have to accept, but God gives. And it's not this big Holy Spirit over there thing, God is with us. The red, to help you, to be with you forever. You know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. Pretty simple. Okay, next slide, if that's cool, Joe. Okay. we'll carry on. So the yellow in the four different bits of the four bits that talk about the Holy Spirit, there's a lot of yellow in all of them. There's a lot of red in all of them. There's green in all of them, and there's blue in all of them. So it's like, in all of them, there's these bits that are repeated. He continually is saying where the Holy Spirit's from. He's continually saying what the Holy Spirit is doing, and doing for us and for the world, and what the Holy Spirit is doing in the world, and naming him through the truth in our advocate. So, advocate. Other translations use the word comforter, counselor, another helper, or just helper. So advocate, comforter, counselor, helper. The word advocate probably is used the most, and it's kind of like a law term, which is really perfect as far as God justifies us and saves us, and that whole terminology is very law-based, which fits in with the law of the Old Testament. But it's very all connected. So advocate definition from Google is to speak or write in favour of, support or urge by argument, recommend publicly, a person who speaks or writes in support of another person or cause. So this is what the Holy Spirit does. He is our advocate. This is what the Holy Spirit does before God on our behalf. A person who pleads on our behalf for another. Intercessor. A person who pleads for the case of another in court of law. So God has done that for us. The Holy Spirit does this for us. So no shaky or weird stuff so far. Spirit of truth. So it's mentioned three times. Spirit of truth. What will the Spirit of truth do? He will guide us in all truth. So these are the things that these four bits list. He will guide us in all truth. Remind us of what Jesus has already taught. Teach us. Be in us. Be with you. Help you. And testify about Jesus. So this is what the Holy Spirit does in John. Guide us, reminds us, teaches us, is in us, with us, will help us, will testify about Jesus. So guide us. How good is it knowing God guides us? It's quite comforting, I think. Quite comforting and reassuring for me anyway, that he does guide us. Reminds us of God's word that we have been taught. A lot of us have grown up in church. We know a lot, but we need reminding. Reminding that he loves and cares for us. Reminding that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. And in him all things are possible. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son. He will never leave us or forsake us. He reminds us of all kinds of things on a daily basis. Doing life with God, this is what doing life with God is all about. The Holy Spirit teaching us, reminding us, guiding us. So he teaches us. What are you in the middle of learning at the moment? What is God currently teaching you? He will be in us and with us. You can't be without God if you've accepted him. You might think you're doing things on your own, but God has never left you. He's right there. Loving you, wanting to enjoy your company and do everyday life with you. He helps us. Whether we ask for it or not, he helps us. We're his children. Relaying what the Father and the Son have said. I can relay what my, say a salesperson comes to the door, I can relay what my parents would say because I know what they would say most of the time. But it's saying like I know them well enough to be able to relay their thoughts on the phone, or you know what I mean? Like that whole I know them well enough to be able to relay. And that's what these verses are continually saying, like the Holy Spirit knows the Father and Jesus has sent him. He knows, he relays exactly what he's heard, what he knows of God. It's nothing of his own, he only speaks what he hears. You won't get anything that isn't of God from the Holy Spirit. He also testifies about Jesus, who he is, what he did, what he's doing right now. And this is the only thing in relation to the Holy Spirit in these verses, the only thing that we are told to do is testify about Jesus as well. The Holy Spirit is already testifying about Jesus. He's already doing this. And he's already doing this in the world. We just need to join in. The Spirit of Truth. It's really easy to speak little half-truths or white lies, or maybe we should just call them lies, that we tell ourselves. There's so many little things that we tell ourselves throughout the day that really aren't the Spirit of Truth. They're really just little lies that we tell ourselves. Like, I'm not good enough, or I'm just... Or we play down what God has actually made us. I'm just a farmer. I'm too old, I'm too young. These are all actually lies in my mind. They're not the Spirit of Truth speaking in our life. They're the opposite. We need to separate the lies and the truth. One of the things that Jesus promises about the Holy Spirit is that he is the Spirit of Truth. He will guide us and teach us. Say you've grown the potatoes and you're a little bit flustered. God cares about that. Not just the spiritual stuff. He cares about you growing the potatoes and he's right there with you. It's not this separation between normal life or growing potatoes and, okay, I'm praying now, doing my devotion. God is totally with you in the burning of potatoes and in your devotion. But when we burn the potatoes, we get flustered or whatever it might be, and God, the lie is God doesn't have time for my burnt potatoes and my being flustered. I need to, you know, come and be calm and quiet before him. But actually, that's probably a lie too. God is right there with us in the burnt potatoes, and he has time for you in that moment. He is rich in time. And he is a God of abundance. He has time for you no matter what, and will never leave you. And it's the Spirit of Truth that will continue to reveal and teach us these things in those moments of burnt potatoes. Where does the Spirit of Truth need to speak into your life? What does he need to remind you of? To guide you on? What does he need to teach you? What to help you with. He is with you and will be with you. So instead of just attending church, we're going to do church. So I want you to ask God, what does the Spirit of Truth have for you this morning? What part of your life do you need the Spirit of Truth to speak into? What part of your life? It's kind of like, what's the next present God wants to open with you? Where does the Spirit of Truth need to speak into your life this morning? So just take a moment and ask God that. It might have been a hard question or a simple one. No matter what way you felt, there's no right or wrong in that. Some people may have already had something on their mind and it was easy to hear God about it. Or maybe it wasn't easy to hear what God was saying. And that's okay too. Because God speaks to us in all sorts of different ways. And sitting in a place surrounded by a bunch of people may not be where you feel comfortable hearing God speak. And that is totally okay. It doesn't mean you're less spiritual or you don't hear God. We all hear God differently. God is with you and wants to reveal himself to you more. If God is going to reveal himself to you more, the Holy Spirit will be involved. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. God loves and cares for you, and he won't give you bad gifts. If you think asking the Holy Spirit into your life is going to make you shake or do something weird, then that is not God. God loves you, cares for you, and he wants to be involved in your life. How that looks will differ from person to person. God does not want to embarrass us or make us look silly. He won't give us bad gifts. So like getting Christmas crackers and then wee hats, sometimes putting them on you feel a bit silly, but you just join in because that's what Christmas crackers are kind of about. Sometimes God can be a little bit like that too. But he only gives good gifts. If you want to talk about any of this or anything else that we haven't talked about in the service, please feel free to discuss it with each other, to pray with one another, to talk things through, discuss it, talk about it. Talk about God with each other, and do church here today, but also do church during the week. Pray for one another, be there for one another. Yeah, let's do church, not just this hour and a bit, but let's do church now and during the week with God, God with us. Holy Spirit with us, in us, helping us, teaching us, reminding us. God is a good God. Let's pray. God, thank you that you care about us. Thank you for revealing yourself to us more. to realise you in our life and to do life with you in the everyday. Help us to hear your voice, teach us how to hear you, to see you. Teach us what it's like to be with you. And teach us that we don't have to try, that we are with you. God that gives good gifts every day of the week.